7. Open flame. I was unprepared for the grief my loss brought, like an unexpected rain, breaking from a clear sky and crashing down upon me. Gavilar's death years ago was overwhelming, but this nearly crushed me. From the Journal of Navani Kolin, Jessasach, 1174. Still half asleep, Shallan panicked. She scrambled off her cot, accidentally slapping the goblet of mostly drained spheres. Though she used wax to keep it in place, the swat knocked it free and sent spheres tumbling across her cabin. The scent of smoke was powerful. She ran to her door, disheveled, heart thumping. At least she'd fallen asleep in her clothing. She threw open the door. 3 men crowded in the passageway outside, holding aloft torches, their backs to her. Torches? Sparking with flame spren dancing about the fires. Who brought open flame onto a ship? Shallan stopped in numb confusion. The shouts came from the deck above, and it seemed that the ship wasn't on fire. But who were these men? They carried axes and were focused on Yasna's cabin, which was open. Figures moved inside. In a frozen moment of horror, one threw something to the floor before the others, who stepped aside to make way. A body in a thin nightgown, eyes staring sightlessly, blood blossoming from the breast. Yasna.
Be sure, one of the men said.
The other one knelt and rammed a long, thin knife right into Yasna's chest. Shallan heard it hit the wood of the floor beneath the body. Shallan screamed. One of the men spun toward her.
Hey!
It was the blunt-faced tall fellow that Yalb had called the new kid. She didn't recognize the other men. Somehow fighting through the terror and disbelief, Shallan slammed her door and threw the bolt with trembling fingers. Stormfather! Stormfather! She backed away from the door as something heavy hit the other side. They wouldn't need the axes. A few determined smashes of shoulder to door would bring it down. Shallan stumbled back against her cot, nearly slipping on the spheres rolling to and fro with the ship's motion. The narrow window near the ceiling, far too small to fit through, revealed only the dark of night outside. Shouts continued above, feet thumping on wood. Shallan trembled, still numb. Yasna.
Sword, a voice said.
Pattern, hanging on the wall beside her.
The sword.
No! Shallan screamed, hands to the sides of her head, fingers in her hair. Stormfather! She was trembling. Nightmare. It was a nightmare. It couldn't be.
Fight.
No! Shallan found herself hyperventilating as the men outside continued to ram their shoulders against her door. She was not ready for this. She was not prepared. Pattern said, sounding dissatisfied.
Lies.
I don't know how to use the lies, Shallan said. I haven't practiced.
Yes, yes. Remember the time before.
The door crunched. Dared she remember? Could she remember? A child, playing with a shimmering pattern of light. What do I do? She asked.
You need the light, Pattern said.
It sparked something deep within her memory, something prickled with barbs she dared not touch. She needed stormlight to fuel the surge binding. Shallan fell to her knees beside her cot, and without knowing exactly what she was doing, breathed in sharply. Stormlight left the spheres around her, pouring into her body, becoming a storm that raged in her veins. The cabin went dark, black as a cavern deep beneath the earth. The light began to rise from her skin like vapors off boiling water. It lit the cabin with swimming shadows. Now what? She demanded.
Shape the lie.
What did that mean? The door crunched again, cracking, a large split opening down the center. Panicked, Shallan let out a breath. Stormlight streamed from her in a cloud. She almost felt as if she could touch it. She could feel its potential. How? She demanded.
Make the truth.
That makes no sense. Shallan screamed as the door broke open. New light entered the cabin. Torchlight. Red and yellow. Hostile. The cloud of light leaped from Shallan, more stormlight streaming from her body to join it. It formed a vague, upright shape, an illuminated blur. It washed past the men through the doorway, waving appendages that could have been arms. Shallan herself, kneeling by the bed, fell into shadow. The men's eyes were drawn to the glowing shape. Then blessedly they turned and gave chase. Shallan huddled against the wall, shaking. The cabin was utterly dark. Above, men screamed.
Shallan!
Pattern buzzed somewhere in the darkness. Go and look, she said. Tell me what is happening up on deck. She didn't know if he obeyed, as he made no sound when he moved. After a few deep breaths, Shallan stood up. Her legs shook, but she stood. She collected herself somewhat. This was terrible. This was awful. But nothing, nothing could compare to what she'd had to do the night her father died. She had survived that. She could survive this. These men, they would be of the same group Kabsel had been from. The assassins Yasna feared. They had finally gotten her. Oh, Yasna. Yasna was dead. Grieve later. What was Shallan going to do about armed men taking over the ship? How would she find a way out? She felt her way out into the passageway. There was a little light here from torches above on the deck. The yells she heard there grew more panicked.
Killing, a voice suddenly said.
She jumped, though of course it was only Pattern.
What?
Shallan hissed.
Dark man killing, Pattern said. Sailors tied in ropes. One dead, bleeding, red. I do not understand.
Oh, Stormfather! Above, the shouting heightened, but there was no scramble of boots on the deck, no clanging of weapons. The sailors had been captured, at least one had been killed. In the darkness, Shallan saw shaking, wiggling forms creep up from the wood around her. Fear sprang. What of the men who chased after my image? She asked.
Looking in water, Pattern said.
So they thought she'd jumped overboard. Heart thumping, Shallan felt her way to Yasna's cabin, expecting at any moment to trip over the woman's corpse on the floor. She didn't. Had the men dragged it above? Shallan entered Yasna's cabin and closed the door. It wouldn't latch shut, so she pulled a box over to block it. She had to do something. She felt her way to one of Yasna's trunks, which had been thrown open by the men, its contents, clothing, scattered about. In the bottom, Shallan found the hidden drawer and pulled it open. Light suddenly bathed the cabin. The spheres were so bright they blinded Shallan for a moment, and she had to look away. Pattern vibrated on the floor beside her, form shaking in worry. Shallan looked about. The small cabin was a shambles, clothing on the floor, papers strewn everywhere. The trunk with Yasna's books was gone. Too fresh to have soaked in, blood was pooled on the bed. Shallan quickly looked away. A shout suddenly sounded above, followed by a thump. The screaming grew louder. She heard Tozbeck bellow for the men to spare his wife. Almighty above! The assassins were executing the sailors one at a time. Shallan had to do something. Anything. Shallan looked back at the spheres in their false bottom, lined with black cloth. Pattern, she said. We're going to soul cast the bottom of the ship and sink it.
What?
His vibrating increased, a buzz of sound.
Humans, humans, eat water.
We drink it, Shallan said, but we cannot breathe it.
Confused, Pattern said.
The captain and the others are captured and being executed. The best chance I can give them is chaos. Shallan placed her hands on the spheres and drew in the light with a sharp breath. She felt a fire with it inside of her, as if she were going to burst. The light was a living thing, trying to press out through the pores of her skin. "Show me!" she shouted, far more loudly than she'd intended. That stormlight urged her to action. "I've soul cast before. I must do it again." Stormlight puffed from her mouth as she spoke, like breath on a cold day. Pattern said anxiously.
"I will intercede. See."
"See what?"
"See."
Shadesmar. The last time she'd gone to that place, she'd nearly gotten herself killed. Only it wasn't a place. Or was it? Did it matter? She reached back through recent memory to the time when she'd last soul cast and accidentally turned a goblet into blood. "I need a truth."
"You have given enough," Pattern said. "Now, see."
The ship vanished. Everything popped. The walls, the furniture, it all shattered into little globes of black glass. Shallan prepared herself to fall into the ocean of those glass beads, but instead she dropped onto solid ground. She stood in a place with a black sky and a tiny, distant sun. The ground beneath her reflected light. Obsidian? Each way she turned, the ground was made of that same blackness. Nearby, the spheres, like those that would hold stormlight but dark and small, bounced to a rest on the ground. Trees like growing crystal clustered here and there. The limbs were spiky and glassy without leaves. Nearby, little lights hung in the air, flames without their candles. People, she realized. Those are each a person's mind, reflected here in the cognitive realm. Smaller ones were scattered about her feet, dozens upon dozens, but so small she almost couldn't make them out. The minds of fish? She turned around and came face to face with a creature that had a symbol for a head. Startled, she screamed and jumped back. These things, they had haunted her, they... It was Pattern. He stood tall and willowy, but slightly indistinct, translucent. The complex pattern of his head, with its sharp lines and impossible geometries, seemed to have no eyes. He stood with hands behind his back, wearing a robe that seemed too stiff to be cloth.
"Go," he said. "Choose."
"Choose what?" she said, stormlight escaping her lips.
"Your ship."
He did not have eyes, but she thought she could follow his gaze toward one of the little spheres on the glassy ground. She snatched it, and suddenly was given the impression of a ship. The wind's pleasure. A ship that had been cared for, loved. It had carried its passengers well for years and years, owned by Tazbek and his father before him. An old ship, but not ancient, still reliable. A proud ship. It manifested here as a sphere. It could actually think. The ship could think. Or, well, it reflected the thoughts of the people who served on it, knew it, thought about it. "I need you to change," Shallan whispered to it, cradling the bead in her hands. It was too heavy for its size, as if the entire weight of the ship had been compressed to this singular bead.
"No," the reply came, though it was Pattern who spoke. "No, I cannot. I must serve. I am happy."
Shallan looked to him.
"I will intercede," Pattern repeated. "Translate. You are not ready."
Shallan looked back to the bead in her hands. "I have stormlight. Lots of it. I will give it to you."
"No," the reply seemed angry. "I serve."
It really wanted to stay a ship. She could feel it, the pride it took, the reinforcement of years of service. "They are dying," she whispered.
"No."
You can feel them dying. Their blood on your deck. One by one, the people you serve will be cut down.
She could feel it herself, could see it in the ship.
They were being executed.
Nearby, one of the floating candle flames vanished.
3 of the 8 captives dead, though she did not know which ones.
There is only one chance to save them, Shallan said. And that is to change.
Change,
Pattern whispered for the ship.
If you change, they might escape the evil men who kill, Shallan whispered. It is uncertain, but they will have a chance to swim, to do something. You can do them a last service, Wind's Pleasure. Change for them.
Silence.
Another light vanished. I will change.
It happened in a hectic second. The stormlight ripped from Shallan. She heard distant cracks from the physical world as she withdrew so much light from the nearby gemstones that they shattered. Shadesmar vanished. She was back in Yasna's cabin. The floor, walls, and ceiling melted into water. Shallan was plunged into the icy black depths. She thrashed in the water, dress hampering her movements. All around her, objects sank, the common artifacts of human life. Frantic, she searched for the surface. Originally, she'd had some vague idea of swimming out and helping untie the sailors if they were bound. Now, however, she found herself desperately even trying to find the way up. As if the darkness itself had come alive, something wrapped around her. It pulled her farther into the deep.